99.1 PLR. Let's count them down. The Chaz and AJ Window Nation Top 10.
It's Top 10 Thanksgiving Day illnesses and injuries. Dr. Ron Clark's doing the list. Nancy, Long Island, what do you got?
Well, hot diggity dog, I can't believe I got through.
Hot diggity.
I'm going to say, hot diggity, yeah, whatever. I'm going to say cutting your hand with a knife.
That is on the list. That's the number one, and that happens every year multiple times. Cutting the turkey, cutting other foods, mostly severed fingers is on the list. Yeah, that's the number one on the list.
My God.
That's appetizing too, isn't it?
good start.
Yeah. Is that cranberry all over the turkey?
I work as a chef, so I know all about cutting fingers.
Are you really a chef, or are you someone who makes food?
Oh, no. You know who I work for, right?
No, I know, but does that mean you're a chef? Like, shouldn't someone hand you a piece of paper and say, yeah, you're a chef?
I have a certificate that said I went to the CIA.
There you go.
I talk.
There you go.
Okay.
CIA, you're 100% a chef.
Yes.
Wait, does the certificate say you went there, or you made it all the way through?
I graduated.
All right. Congratulations.
Oh, graduated. I got you.
Hey, listen, guys, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. I think I have the sound of someone who cut their finger on a turkey. Hold on. I'm not sure if they cut their finger or if they're choking on a turkey bone.
They're in pain. You got to lay off the rosé before you start doing that. Yeah, seriously.
Erinette.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning.
How about if you choke on your food?
Yeah, that's on the list. That's number seven on the list, was all kinds of choking accidents. Turkey and other kinds of meat, people choke on it, come in from that. I had a person actually choke on a carrot one time. That was interesting.
Oh.
Got stuck in
first.
There. Actually came in actually very sick, like with a choking incident, like decreased responsiveness, and was not breathing when the paramedics brought her to me. And I went to go intubate her we put a scope in their mouth to take a look, and it was glowing orange. And I was like, what is going on here? So I took the suction, and I actually sucked a cut carrot out of her trachea, out of her, between her vocal folds. It's an interesting case.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
How big?
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Erinette. How big
thank
was
you.
The piece?
It was like a regular piece of carrot, like you would think of, like a circular piece that was cut, and it was like semi-cooked, so it was a little bit cooked, but not all the way through,
hard.
So it was still a little hard, and she went to eat it. And sometimes, like, when you're talking, I always tell my kids, don't talk when you're eating and, you know, with food in your mouth. And the you're talking, and all of a sudden you take a breath and just inhale it right in. It
done.
It sucks right in, but it sucked in perfectly right into her airway.
So many jokes right now.
Yeah.
So many right now. Mike, don't say it.
You leave them.
Don't say it. Don't
yeah,
say
you
it.
Leave the jokes. You know, just, you acknowledge that you're thinking of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Being a good boy.
Hungry man.
Good morning.
Hey. Morning.
How about getting burned by deep frying your turkey?
Yes, that is on the list. That's the number two. Burns from deep fry, from turkey fryers and from ovens is on the list. And we always get a couple bad burns every single year from those things. It happens, and sometimes the burns can be superficial, you know, we call first degree burns, and then some of them can be really deep blisters, very painful, where we have to get pain meds and send them down to the burn center and those kinds of things. So yeah, it's on the list. It's number two.
Thank you,
Bobby, for giblets.
What's the worst one you could remember seeing, Doc?
You know, I've had burns where people fire burns are the worst out of anything, to be honest with you, if there's fires where people are burned, and I've had that multiple times, unfortunately. So that's the worst of the worst. For things like this where people get burned in the oven, sometimes someone will put their hand in and not be paying attention, and then where the oven rods are, their hand will kind of go into it, and then it hurts, and then they push more into it, so they actually make it worse. You can burn right through your skin, and you can burn right down to the bone. I mean, it can be pretty horrible, and those hurt like heck. And you know, so I got to give pain meds and tetanus shots and all kinds of stuff. They got to get debrided out. They can be a real nightmare.
I have a recording of someone who was burnt by a turkey. What's that? Deep fried?
Deep frying a turkey. We're heading in. Burning.
Crispy on the outside, juicy on the inside.
Yeah, any kind of cooking grease can give you really bad burns too, because that
so hot.
Burns right through. It's so hot. The thermal capacity of the grease is really high, and just burn right through your skin.
Oh God, it hurts now. Gotta see Dr. Ron Clark now.
The top 10 Thanksgiving Day illnesses and injuries. John Miller Place.
Good morning, crew. Good morning, Dr. Clark.
Hey. Good morning.
How about a chipped tooth?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's not on my list, but yeah, chipped tooth can definitely happen from eating things on Thanksgiving. I don't have it on my list, but that's actually a good one. Not on the list, but it is a good one.
Eat around the bowl.
All right. Well, happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
Yeah,
you
happy too. Thanksgiving to you.
Pat and Guilford.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
How about food poisoning or salmonella?
Yeah, that can be on the list. I'll give you that for number 8. There's food-related illnesses, and there's lots of ways that people can get sick. You can have salmonella poisoning, like you're saying, or different kind of mayonnaise or different things that can cause food illness. You can also have hyperglycemia from high blood sugar or allergic reactions from food. Food is great, but food can also cause a lot of problems and cause a lot of accidents to see me in the ER.
Thank you, Pat.
Great turkey.
Thank you, guys.
I got someone who has food poisoning. Are you okay? The turkey wasn't done?
Literal toilet pepper? What?
That's a bad deviled egg right there.
Yeah. It's recording inside the bathroom.
Pizza Man Dan?
Oh, good morning, guys.
Hey.
Morning.
How about a bellyache from eating too much?
Yeah, I mean that can be on the list too. I'll put that still with the number 8, the food related illness on there from you. A lot of people eat too much and start vomiting and have all kinds of problems from afterwards from overeating, but definitely on the list.
Have a good one, guys. So.
Thank you. How long does it take for the brain to communicate that you should stop eating?
Hour and a half.
Is it 20 minutes? Is there a 20-minute delay from the stomach to the brain?
Something like that. But again, everybody's different with their satiety of how when they feel full. Everybody's kind of a little different with that. But in theory, when the stomach stretches out, once you have food in there, you should start to feel full in 20 to 30 minutes. But everybody's different. People like me who are big guys, I eat too much, so it doesn't work for me.
Mm. Yeah, me neither.
Milk's open. Yep.
We're asking people to call in what they're not thankful for. The least thankful person in your life.
Yes.
We need to do this, AJ, to set the stage for tomorrow, where it's all niceness and all that stuff.
You got
to
vent. You got to clear it out first.
Let's get rid of this, and then we can really do that nicely.
Right. Exactly.
203-882-9757. Let's start with someone we're thankful for. Lieutenant Jordan Brown, Waterbury Fire Department. He's been on the job 10 years. Hey, Lieutenant.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Morning.
So we have the lieutenant on because he was part of a rescue that saved a toddler who had his head stuck in a toilet.
That is true. That is a true story.
What happened?
So we got a call for a rescue response, they call it. It was a child trapped. So we went running to the truck, and we have a program on our truck that will give us, you know, additional notes on what the call is going to be. So I'm reading through, and I see, you know, child stuck with a potty seat over their head. So I'm like, there's no way. And I'm thinking to myself, that can't be right. So I'm looking, no injuries. I tell the guys, like, hey, this is what we have. So we go pulling up, and it was exactly as you could imagine it would be. You had the caregivers in the room. She just mortified the poor lady because now not only did this happen, but she has to explain it to the parents that this happened.
Yeah, her watch.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the child sitting on the counter, and she's all wide-eyed, you know, like, oh, my God, the Weeboos are here. You know, they got a live action of the firebuds going on in her kitchen. So we're talking to her. She was, again, very calm, and we were able to get it off her. We just, you know, used scissors to cut the plastic and just bent it over her head. But, my gosh, what a story.
Well, what was it, like the little ring?
Yeah, so when you go to the store, they'll sell, like, little portable ones. So it's a cheap plastic circle that you put actually on top of the toilet seat. That way it makes it a little bit smaller for the kid.
Okay.
Right. So just a curious two-year-old just kind of took it and said, oh, a new necklace, and put it on.
Right. As she was trying to be an angel.
Exactly.
Like a halo.
Yeah.
Now you're Saturn.
Yeah.
Man, if not for the Waterbury Fire Department, that kid would be having Thanksgiving dinner with this big thing around his head.
Too fashion trend, yeah.
Are you bobbing for apples?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Oh, I can't eat my potatoes.
Then it becomes a whole thing in kindergarten. It's like, hey, who's the kid with the thing around his head?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, we think of firefighters, and we think running into a burning building to save people you've never met, which is part of it. But we don't think of all the weird things we as humans get stuck in or on that you have to come and figure it out.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the best parts is, you know, it's anything and everything we can help people with. It makes it a lot of fun.
What is, so this has to be right up there, right?
Yes. Yes, this is definitely one of the top five.
Have you ever had to take something off of someone's genitalia?
Yeah, believe it or not, there's some instances where people will do some things that are kind of like, are you kidding me?
No, but what's funny is in the emergency room, if doctors can't figure it out, they're like, call the fire department.
Yeah. It's very common. We'll go in there and try and figure something out. And, you know, our guys are excellent. They'll kind of find ways to kind of make things happen. We have a very good group of guys.
But it's kind of like you almost need some kind of a engineering degree and medical degree.
Honestly, it's all inclusive at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm Italian. For me, it's my hand.
Yeah. So is this the first time you had someone's head stuck in something? Or I'm thinking fences.
The metal fences are common. Think of like a playground. They'll have like those metal bars. So people do like the monkey bars or whatever. You'll have a kid get his head stuck up in there. We'll have to kind of bend it to free him. So there's a lot of oddball stuff that'll happen here out, but usually it's, you know, all ends well.
Great job. Have you ever had a kid climb into one of those, grab the toy grabbing machines?
Oh, yeah, the grabbing machines, yeah.
Oh, no, thank God. But now that it's in the air, I would not doubt it's going to happen.
Just give the parents some orders.
That's a superstition.
Yeah, exactly. No,
there's video.
No. What he's saying is now that I put it out there, it's probably going to happen. It's like when you're a nurse and you're working in the emergency room and you say, oh, it's quiet tonight.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's it. It's you over.
You might get punched in the mouth after saying that.
That's right.
This never happened.
All right. Well, great work. And thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for what you do. And please pass this on to everyone at the Waterbury Fire Department that we're very happy that we have you guys and girls.
Big fans.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me and happy Thanksgiving.
You too, brother. Thank you. Lieutenant Jordan Brown. Save that. Pull that kid's head out.
Right.
The caregiver, the nanny who was like, oh, no.
The worst part is the first verbalization of it. You know, do you go to a neighbor or you're on 911, you have to say, yeah, I got a kid here who has his head stuck on a toilet. It's like, what?
I was potty trained. The kid did it wrong.
You don't go in that way.
Wrong end.
right. We're talking about the least. What are we doing? It's the person you're least thankful for.
Yes.
Or the thing you're least thankful for.
You called it an anger dump before. I like that.
Anger dump. Yeah, we're going to get it all out now.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's going to be all nice and happy and
fresh.
Fresh, yes. Yeah. Nikki and Milford.
Hi. I'm going to hard name drop. I am not thankful for and very ungrateful likes to abuse infants, babies, children.
I'm going to have to hit the dump button on this because this is pretty serious. Let's take his name out of it. And then why don't you just, I don't know.
All right. Everybody knows who it is if they know my name because he likes to abuse children.
Ooh.
And he deserves to be name dropped, but I can't. But he really deserves it, and he deserves to be known because he's walking free right now.
Oh, boy. Oh. Okay. I'm sorry to hear that. That's a drag.
Yeah. It's okay. I wish I could name drop, but everybody who knows my name knows who I'm talking about. And I told everybody who matters to listen in.
Okay.
Thanks, girl.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, Nikki.
Thank you.
Well,
she's on a real mission.
Yeah.
I did ask for this.
Yeah. Right. Maybe less awkward.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hopefully that guy chokes on a turkey leg or something.
All right, reset.
Rick and Cromwell.
Hi, how you doing? So one of the things I'm surprised nobody's called about is Eversource, the utility companies.
Yeah.
How is nobody not thankful for those idiots?
That's a good
Some of the most incompetent people I've worked with has been from Eversource utility companies.
Well, so did you work there?
Incompetent?
No, I did not work for them. I work aside them on certain projects.
Gotcha.
But gotcha. I think it starts from the top. So when we start getting, you know, increases in our bills, I think it should start from the top. Find out who works for the company, where they got their education, and work their way down. Because I think we could save some money doing that. But it just drives me nuts. It can't just be me who's worked with Eversource or worked with Frontier, or works with Comcast, works with all these utility companies. I just don't know their own job. It's unbelievable. It really is. Unthankfulness.
Okay.
Them.
Yes. Yes. The people like us that are on the ground that do the real work, those
workers.
People are fine. They're just following orders.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And those people that climb the poles during storms, I'm like, man, you're risking your life so I can turn my TV on?
Yeah.
Really?
Exactly.
Like, I'd be sitting home saying, when the wind stops and we cut all these trees out, then I'll come out and start. I see them. The storm's still going.
Yeah.
They're up in the trucks. I'm like,
you're,
I don't want to say hero, but like, man, you got some balls.
And sometimes people have the nerve to go out there and say, can you hurry up?
Right.
It's like, okay, why? You got to microwave something right now?
Yeah. You should have a bowling ball in your bucket truck that you could just drop out on those people.
Right. You can wait.
Yeah.
The lineman people have a job, and the boots on the ground guys have a job that is unmatched. I think it starts from in-house.
I agree.
Then,
it's the upper
way up. The
upper echelon.
And then the middle management, some of them you can eliminate the jobs and you would never even know they're gone, those people.
Yes, exactly. You do some house renovations. You probably have dealt with those companies and your aggravation with it.
I've been very lucky, by the way. So, but thank you, Rich. I'm glad you called.
Yep.
This is what we're doing here. It's kind of like an anger dump.
Right.
Things we're not thankful for. We're going to do that today, and then tomorrow we talk about what we're thankful for.
Oh,
right.
AJ and Shelton.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good. Hello.
I got to say, this one right here really shook me to my core, and it really bothered me, and this guy really needs to pay. The thing that I'm unthankful for is Vince's sweater.
Vince's
sweater, yeah. Yeah, that was actually terrorism.
I was thankful, and it made me angry, so, yeah.
Does his sweater have a name? What should his name be?
Cookie Monster.
Nigel?
Raul.
It's the sweater. It's the sweater and the scarf. The scarf makes it more Raul-esque.
Yes.
When he was standing in the mirror with the sweater, looking, did he say, what got him to get, I got to get the scarf. It was like, wait a minute, not dumb enough.
Right.
We need one more dumb thing on here.
I need to ramp it up a little bit.
It's not obnoxious enough.
This is, I still might get a girl with this. Hold on. Let me ensure I won't.
Chicks love scarves.
Scarf. Oh, Jesus Christ. If he ever comes in dressed like that again, I'm going to light him on fire to do him a favor.
I told him, I was like, look, I've never done acid, but now I know what it's like.
By the way, we love Vince. We love his parents.
We do.
Yeah, we love Vince.
Just not that sweater.
Clothes selection.
His mom was in the comments yesterday writing back to people.
Oh, is that right?
Someone wrote something
like, sticking up for him?
What would you call this outfit? And it was like someone's mom dressed him for third grade photos, and she just put like her face in her hands like the emoji. They're the best.
All right, AJ, great call.
Guys.
Thank you. All right, we'll take Rich, and then we'll get to this list that Mike Cirilli from News 8 put together, how to get out of political arguments at Thanksgiving. Rich in Middletown.
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
Good morning, hey. DLR. Sorry, I watched Good Morning Vietnam this morning. Anyway, people with that were not so thankful for. I worked with somebody for 37 years.
Whoa.
And he just stole the client from me and cost me about $38,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so calm.
So, and you know what? I let it go because I don't have the headspace for that.
Yep.
I let it go, but that's on him. And he's been sending texts or he left a voicemail. But
what did he say?
He did wrong.
What did he say? Did he apologize? Thanks
for the money.
No, absolutely not. No, he's keeping the money. When I talked with him about it, I want X percent. You're taking food off my kid's plate. I said, yeah. But you're taking food off of my plate. So anyway, 37 years of friendship, and I had to tell him, I said, you spent 37 years of friendship down the drain over $40,000.
That's about $1,000
a year.
Yeah. Give or take. Yeah. But, like rental. You know what? I can't stand a thief. Mm. I can stand most anything else. Can't stand a thief. So that's what he did. That's my story. And I want to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
You as well. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. You too. All right. He's taking it a lot better than most of us would.
Oh, I know.
You got any friends you'd give up for $1,000 a year?
My list.
AJ already has a list.
Let's see the cash first.
AJ is just like paper uncrumpling out of his pocket as he pulls it out.
The list, it would be a lot shorter if you just like, who wouldn't you give up for $1,000 a year?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think AJ would trade me for a bag of Funyuns.
Let's see the bag.
Exactly.
Mike Cerulli, News 8, political reporter in studio. And a lot of us will be getting together with family members over the weekend. And, you know, if you're all on the same political page, it's a blessing. It's not always like that. And what do you do if you're not blessed? How do you handle that?
Well, I should say, I get questions about this actually very frequently because people, like from out of the elbow room or something, someone will say to me, oh, did you see what happened? I'm like, I did see what happened. For all 10 hours of the day today, I saw what happened.
Yeah.
And I really just don't want to talk about it, right? So I've come up with these ways that you can kind of get out of talking about politics. I've also created some ways that at the Thanksgiving table you can get out of it. Now, most of these, I've been writing them down for the last maybe month.
Can we see if we could get some?
You're not going to
guess. Yeah, guess one.
See, some
guess
of these
one.
Are some of these are pretty outrageous.
Okay,
and most involve starting a new argument.
Oh, okay. I don't
you
have
double down.
Well, because I think part of Thanksgiving is people. They sort of some people come and they want to argue. Like I have a relative. I'm not going to say who it is. Who's just primed to want to argue
about politics,
about anything, about anything. And you might have a relative that you could talk to them about. You know, oh, yeah, I got the tires changed on my car, and they'll find a way to make it about politics.
Okay, I've seen the posts. I've seen posts do that.
Right.
The post, hey, we saved a puppy.
And right.
Then somewhere
and then, like, three replies
down,
in, they're
like,
talking about Trump.
Trump
right?
And whoever. Yeah.
That's how a dog got away, yes.
So a good way to deal, this is, I was thinking, with this relative in mind, maybe it's a grandparent. Maybe
can I go first and see if it's on the list?
Yeah, wait a second.
Yeah, I have a guess. AJ, you have a guess?
Yes, I have a guess also.
Okay.
You first.
All right. You start choking on food.
Nice.
So, okay, this is good. I like this.
Okay.
There were like, I have a whole category
diversion.
Of physical diversions you can do.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
I think
right,
the number one way to get out of arguing about politics, just get blackout drunk. You won't remember it. Doesn't matter. doesn't matter if you do argue about it.
No, like that.
No. You'll remember because everyone will remind you.
Yeah, on video.
And exactly. you'll be like, how come I'm not going over for Christmas? Remind me again.
Then you've gotten yourself out of the Christmas arguments, too.
Yeah.
It's two for one.
My thing is you get up and do the walk. I'm too full. I'm going to go walk, stretch it out.
Yes. The cousin,
I say.
The cousin walk is definitely
cousin walk.
The cousin
that's
walk.
In there. The cousin walk's amazing.
AJ, what was your guess?
I got the easiest way. Just set the tablecloth on fire.
Okay, that's a good one. I thought you were going to say your go-to, which is?
My go-to.
Your go-to. Phil, you know what it is.
Oh, I know exactly what it is.
Yeah. You fake a heart attack.
Yeah, grab your left arm, hit the ground.
Yeah. As I get older, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm tempting fate.
You know why? You know why you can't do it anymore? Because when it really happens, we'll be like, he's faking a heart attack.
AJ!
Exactly. Right, the boy who cried wolf syndrome. No. Yeah. Not anymore.
All right, how do we get out of these political arguments?
All right, so a lot of these are definitely oriented. I'm 24, so I'm like the youngest generation. A lot of these are oriented if you're young and the people that want to argue are older, either your parents' generation, your grandparents. One thing you do, say it's a grandparent, right? They make a comment. They say something about politics. Just take out your phone, have this loaded up, ChatGPT. Type in whatever they said.
Nope.
Put a question mark. Give them the phone. Have them argue with that. See what happens. Put them in the corner. It's sort of the...
That's the give the toddler the tablet.
Exactly.
Put them in the corner.
No, and then they'll argue with it. They'll argue with... And ChatGPTs, I've tried this. Like, I've done, like, what do you think about this? And it will argue, and it will mirror your kind of mood.
What if they don't want their voice recorded because the aliens will take it? And they're like... Crazy.
It's a type... You type into it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of giving someone who is unaware an AI device.
Me too.
No, but that's the fun part of it.
No.
If you do this, can you record it?
Yo, yeah.
And bring it back Monday?
It logs all the conversations. So, number two, and this is where we get into the territory of you just start other arguments. And this is again.
Nice. No, I mean, I don't want the log conversation.
Yeah.
I want a video of the person arguing with a device.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, right. So like you would go like, Grandpa's arguing. Grandpa, let's see what ChatGPT says about this.
Right.
And then just that exchange.
Yep. Right. Yep.
You sort of divert the fury onto the computer.
Nice.
Number two. This one's more complicated, but I think it's going to chew up about an hour. It really will be good for that. Again, older person. Look around. Find the person, the two people, like the younger person and the older person. Maybe it's an uncle, maybe it's a grandpa, whose age gap most mirrors the Bill Belichick, Jordan Hudson age gap.
Okay.
And then just say...
What do we got, 24, 71?
I think
how
so.
How old is he?
He's like 70. She's like my age. She's like, I think, younger than me. Actually. She's like 23, 24.
I think she's 24.
There is some dispute about how old she is, though. There is some dispute about how old she is.
She is 24, according to... the internet.
According to sugardaddy.com.
So then you just... So you find that in your head. You go, Uncle Chaz and Cousin Sally, that's the age gap. And you just go, wouldn't it be weird if Chaz was dating someone? And then you let it rip from
and
there.
No. The answer is no.
By the way, that would work.
No. And then you introduce a debate about that, and then they're arguing about that. There's a danger it gets back to politics with that, but I think it'll chew up like an hour of what could be a more entertaining debate than debating about politics.
Way more entertaining.
Just eat faster.
Because then you could go like down the row of uncles. What's the youngest girl you ever dated?
Yeah.
And then you're not being incriminated, and this is really getting you out of having to debate about politics with
someone
else.
You're still moderating now.
Yeah, but you're moderating, but you can do kind of the Lester Holt thing, and you can be like, okay, Uncle Ted.
But you just single-handedly blew up your family, because the ride home is like, you would date a 24-year-old girl?
But that's funny, though.
For you.
Not for the women.
Most of this is for my own enjoyment.
We just want to eat.
Number three.
All right.
Number three.
You're a chaos agent.
Yes, this is what this is. You know what rage baiting is? This is rage baiting.
Wow. Nice.
Number three. Very simple. Ask your sister when she's going to have a kid.
Oh, you're a devil. Wow. You're not a chaos agent.
That's another hour. So you've knocked out 2 hours.
That's the rest of your life, brother.
Nice.
Number four, ask your mom when she thinks your sister should have a kid.
Oh.
Do you have a sister?
I do.
How old's your sister?
Let's get her on the phone.
She's 27. She's probably... I know she's not listening to this right now.
Okay, let's just get her on. Let's get her.
This
on.
Is real. You can tell this is really oriented. This is my Thanksgiving.
San Quentin, I hate every inch of you.
A lot of enthusiasm for that line.
That was the guards
right there. Yeah, we have a San Quentin former prison guard on the phone right now, Darren Monahan. Thank you for doing that And yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No problem.
How long were you a prison guard there?
I was at San Quentin for about 5 years, from 86 to 92.
Probably felt a lot longer than 5 years.
Right.
Yes, it did.
What makes San Quentin different than other prisons?
Well, San Quentin back in the 80s, you're talking, this is what, 38, 39 years ago? It was one of the hardest core prisons for the highest risk inmates out in California at the time. So it was quite different than all the other prisons. It was a segregated housing unit, so everybody was basically locked up in their cells.
So it was the worst of the worst.
Yes, you had San Quentin and you had Folsom at that time. The other higher level prisons weren't open yet.
And you ran into some infamous characters there.
Yes, I did.
And the Charles Manson, how did you have a lot of interactions with him?
Yeah, Charles Manson was on my tier. I had the first floor, which we called Famed Row, and where I had Charles Manson, Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. And so Charles, I'd see just about every day I worked, 5 days a week.
What was he like?
He was similar to you see on TV and okay. In the interviews.
Like the gibberish?
Crazy.
Yeah.
A lot of gibberish, a lot of hippie talk. He would say, dig, man. He called me Irish because of my last name, Monahan.
Okay.
And he was quite the character.
Do you remember any specific conversations with him that stood out?
We let him out during the, while we're running yard and stuff, we had put him in a holding cage at the end and give him a guitar and let him sing. And one day when I was leaving for work, or I was going home after work, he had called me down there to his cell. So I went down there and he wound up and gave me a birthday card for my wife at the time that he had drawn up.
How did he know it was your wife's birthday?
Exactly. That's what I said. I said, Charlie, how do you know it's my wife's birthday? Well, what it was, to make a long story short, is in the holding cage right across from there was the office. And he observed me go in there and call her on the telephone and tell her happy birthday.
Wow.
Wow.
Creepy.
Okay.
Yeah.
His homework. Nice.
Yeah. So how did that, how did you feel about that? Was that, were you like, man, that's creepy? Or were you like, what a thoughtful person.
I thought it was kind of creepy that he had taken the time to finish the card. He was already drawing it. He had already had most of it up. And then he decided to give it to me to give to my wife for her birthday.
Did he draw like a cake?
So he heard you say happy birthday to her on the phone, and then he waits a whole year for the next time for it to come around? Or that particular birthday that he heard you say it, he had the card ready?
It was that same day, that same particular day.
Not as creepy, yeah. But yeah. Still creepy.
It was a Cellmark card.
Yes, yes. And he would kind of look at you with this evil grin, and sometimes he'd jump at you and go booga 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 booga. I don't know what that meant, but
yeah. Would you think? What did you think of him? Did you think he was crazy like a fox or completely bat-ass crazy?
He was crazy. He wasn't. You could have a conversation with him and be fine. And when he would get put in front of a camera, he would put on a little show for everybody.
Right.
And act a little bit crazier.
Okay. He would just dial it up a little bit.
Right. I'm on.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Correct.
And then...
He was definitely out there.
And so when you leave, do you go around to these guys and say, all right, I'm leaving. Right. It was nice working with you.
Oh.
No, not really. I mean, every once in a while when you're just doing your daily thing and you know you're going to be transferred out or you're leaving the job, you know, you talk to them like you do any other person and say, yeah, I won't be here next week. I'm transferring to another prison or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, you don't say if you're in town, look me up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no. I do stay in contact with one person that I met. He was an inmate in the 86 in the Adjustment Center. I stayed in contact with him for all these years. I have no idea why.
That's weird.
Yeah.
But you just, you know, it's human contact. You had some kind of a bond.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. When he had got out of prison, he paroled to a city where I was then working as a police officer. And so I'd run into him there all the time.
Oh, wow. It's like you guys were both professionals, just in different fields.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Though. And he kind of had a deal where if he ran from me, that meant he probably had a gun on him. Okay. And when he didn't run, he would stand and talk to me, and I knew he didn't have a gun on him then.
Okay. So. Right. And so when he ran, you didn't run after him?
Most of the time, no, because we would just catch him later.
Most of the time. How many times did he run from you?
He ran a few times. He didn't like going back to prison, so.
Right. Yeah, there's that.
Right.
What did he do?
We're talking to Darren Monahan, a former San Quentin prison guard. Star in Weathersfield has some information on Charles Manson. Hey, Star.
Yeah. Hey, so Angela Lansbury from Murder, She Wrote, if you don't know who that is.
Yeah.
Her daughter and her moved to Ireland because Angela didn't like this man she was hanging out with in California, who was kind of hippy-dippy and weird. And she said she's like a loser. And that man was Charles Manson.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Murder, She Was.
And when I think about him, I think about Sharon Tate and, you know, hope she's resting in peace with her little baby that she was having with Roman Polanski. It's a very sad situation.
Yeah, that was horrible.
When I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I'm like, oh, it should have been like that.
Right.
She should have lived, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, thank you for your service, sir, as a prison officer. That's tough.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Star.
Bye.
Were there any prison riots there when you were a prison guard at San Quentin?
We had one mainline unit where it wasn't locked up, and it was called West Block, and we had a riot there, and it's just like you see on TV. You go running in there, and they're, you know, they got mattresses on fire and throwing them down the tier, and officers are spraying tear gas, and only once that it occurred while I was there.
It's wild that you say it like, oh, it's like you see on television, but you're running in there, and you're actually, it's not a television show or a movie.
Right,
like they're really rioting, and you could lose your life, but you still run in to break it up.
Yes, it's almost surreal. Like you're like almost a dream in a way. But it's you got to realize, no, this isn't a dream. I got to watch myself, or I'm going to get killed here.
They have a certain set of rules, right, in prison.
What do you mean?
Kind of like unspoken rules, like kids. Convicts who touch kids don't have a good time, right?
No, they don't. They'll usually get stabbed or beat up and have to go into a protective custody mode.
Gotcha. Wow.
That's wild that, you know, even though they're in this prison, they have
standards.
They have standards. They're like,
they do.
You know, we're right. Criminals, but you're gross.
But, mm-hmm. Yeah. You're sick.
Yes. And back then, you had more of what I call convicts versus inmates. The convicts would own up to what they did. The lifers were the easiest to deal with. They just wanted to do their time. They didn't want to give anybody problems. And I call them inmates, make excuses for what they did and have. It was everybody else's fault except theirs, if that makes some sense.
Yeah, no, it does. And then you also was with Richard Ramirez, right?
Yes, Richard Ramirez was about 5 or 6 cells down from Charlie Manson.
Wow, that's so wild.
Bad neighborhood.
No.
Yeah. And Richard was the super strange one. You would look into his eyes and you could tell there's nothing there. And sometimes you would repeat yourself because you're not sure he heard you. But he did. He would just delay in his answers before he answered you.
Wanted to process first.
Yeah, he was the Night Stalker, right? What were his crimes?
He committed about 15 murders from L.A. all the way up into San Francisco.
Wow.
He would break into people's homes and burglarize them, or if he had the chance, he raped some girls, and then he would kill them.
And it's surprising to me that he didn't kill more people in prison. Did you guys just not give him the opportunity to do that?
He didn't have the opportunity to do that, and he wasn't a very... he was kind of a skinny, linky kind of guy, and he just was out there. He wasn't a super tough guy or anything like that.
Yeah, so in prison, they would just chew him up and spit him out.
Yeah, in prison they'd chew him out. When he got cleared to go to the yard one time, we didn't want to let him out there because we figured something would happen. And sure enough, as soon as he went out to the yard, he got attacked by the other inmates, and we had to pull him off the yard.
What kind of tools would you see some of the inmates at San Quentin make?
Oh, they made all kinds of different kind of shanks and knives. They would cook their food with little bonfires underneath a metal plate. So they were pretty inventive with their lifestyle and how they had to live in there.
Yeah, pretty crafty.
Yes, yes.
Well, thank you for your service as a prison guard. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the air.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate it.
Darren Monahan, former San Quentin prison guard. Thank you, sir.
Oh, boy. It's time for Dumbass News.
Oh, we got to go.
It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
99.1 PLR.
Dumbass.
No, you dumbass.
You could be good. It's a 1 month till Christmas.
Smoking Santa.
Black Lung Center.
A Cleveland valet worker takes a car for a joyride. Let's go to the news report.
When you leave your car with a valet, you expect it to be safe, but that wasn't the case for a couple who came to Cleveland.
Well, that couple was here for treatment at the Cleveland Clinic.
I love this guy already.
He came to Cleveland. It wasn't true for the couple, and they went to Cleveland.
Gets right into it. Nice.
Men at the Cleveland Clinic when police say a valet worker took their card for a joyride. News 5's Nadine Alvisada.
Cleveland
Alvisada.
Clinic?
Wow. That's tough to say.
I wouldn't want to be on the news report.
Good
there. Yeah, hi. We're the couple that was at the clinic.
The Cleveland Clinic.
You have to be careful not to itch anything. Scratch anything.
Don't touch anything.
Yeah.
All Five's right. Nadine Alvisada has the story.
And it was a Mercedes convertible. It was snowing here last night, and he was driving down the highway with the top down.
And it didn't wreck. He didn't wreck it?
No.
It was 1:30 Friday morning when a Newburgh Heights police officer on I-77 South pulled over a Mercedes.
What happened to her voice?
I-77 South.
I don't know what happened. When the Santa's elder.
Did she start sounding like this?
She wants to be a dentist.
My favorite ice cream is mint chocolate chip.
Wow. And no one, I could hear the fire department coming by your house, AJ.
Yes, that's my daily occurrence.
Maybe the ambulance. Yeah. Right, if you're driving by AJ's house, honk your horn.
That happens all the time here. AJ!
Because of the stop sign there, too.
No, they don't stop for that. They go right through it.
I know.
All right, back to the nasally reporter.
Yes. Pulled over a Mercedes.
Hey, how you doing? Why are you going that fast, man?
That the officer said was flying.
I had you at 128.
And as he asked more questions.
Where do you work at? Cleveland Clinic.
He quickly learned.
Whose car? Where is he? Was parked.
The driver wasn't the owner of the car.
He was at the Cleveland Clinic. He's a valet parker. And he says to go joyride, to go to the store. She's trying to go back to work.
Through an investigation, they found out that this valet was not supposed to have the vehicle, not supposed to be taking it out for a joyride.
What model was the car?
It was a Mercedes. I remember that they said it was a $115,000 Mercedes. Victim just paid it off.
Police say the owner had come from out of town for a medical procedure. He valeted his Mercedes with town's valet near the Intercontinental Hotel.
So did your boss give you the okay to do this?
No, sir.
Little did he
know. I'm going to go to Cleveland for a medical procedure because no one knows me there.
Right?
And now you're on the news. Well,
and then there's my point car being here on the friggin' news.
Oh.
Oopsie.
And then I have to talk to a reporter who sounds like this.
Mercedes.
Okay.
Little did he know that a 19-year-old employee working the overnight shift would take it to get lunch at Rally's. And on his way back to work, he got detoured.
It was a circumstance that he would never have came through here. He went to go get on 90, but the state patrol had it closed off for construction. He got rerouted and came through Newburgh. He had no clue where he was at.
The good news here, the car was returned to the owner.
And what was the reaction? I mean, when you guys told the owners of the car what happened?
They said that the owner was absolutely ecstatic to hear that his car had been recovered. He was in good spirits about it.
Though the valet driver didn't make it back to work.
So he had the rallies in the car?
Yes.
Did he end
was
up
he in good spirits, or did he have a procedure done where you couldn't really tell the expression on his face?
Right. Oh! Very blank stare.
Looks happy. I don't know. His eyebrows don't move.
Couldn't really tell.
Wow. They're ecstatic. I would not be ecstatic. Would you be ecstatic?
Oh, I'd be pissed.
They took the $115,000 car. It's snowing. They put the top down. They're doing 128. Nah, I'm not ecstatic.
No.
I'd be like, where were you going to go park it?
So probably you thought the car was stolen. See, this is a fake ecstatic. This is, right. You thought the car was stolen. Now you're going to get it back. You're ecstatic. But then what really happened sets in. Now you're pissed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't catch him in stage three. Stage one, shock, stolen.
Right.
Stage two, denial. Ecstatic, it's coming back. Stage three is like, wait, what?
I would call it just relief. It's like, yeah, we just got the car back. We have our ride home now.
Yeah.
Right.
Chaz and AJ.
The car.
Hi.
Hello.
Okay. It's probably better off.
Yeah.
All right.
Did he end up eating his lunch?
He did. The officers gave it to him.
The 19-year-old now has something else to worry about.
Oh, her voice.
Oh, it's awful. Now has something else. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on here.
Like, breathe. Are you okay?
I got me toys for Santa.
Yeah, just... and then continue.
Someone's standing on my throat.
Wow.
The 19-year-old now has something else to worry about.
Am I getting arrested?
Yeah, you're under arrest.
Several criminal charges, including receiving stolen property and speeding.
See, she talked over the best part. Like, you moron.
I was upset about exactly the same thing. You can hear him in the background being like, oh,
jeez.
No.
That's why they punch you in the throat.
Why would we rather hear this voice over in something that we...
For God's sake, kink that back.
Why?
Nope.
Oh.
Give us three more seconds even.
You have the gold. This is the gold.
Right.
Yeah, you're under arrest.
Several criminal charges, including receiving stolen property and speeding.
He's basically in tears. You can hear him crying.
It's the moment.
Come on.
It's the moment we were all waiting for. This is like the end of the reality show.
Right.
Ta-da! You sat through 2 minutes of me talking like this, and now here you go.
Yeah, you're under arrest.
Several criminal charges, including receiving stolen property.
I will talk over it.
Come on.
Wouldn't you rather hear a bug-sounding lady?
She does sound like a mosquito reporter.
Yeah. I picture just a giant fly head.
Yeah. Right.
With a microphone.
Ouch.
And speeding. Reporting in Newburgh Heights. Isina Busada, News 5.
Oh, now she's not in a rush.
Now she can't say,
Super Sada?
Hey, she's Super Sada?
Super Sada.
Reporting in Newburgh Heights. Isina Busada, News 5.
Well, she doesn't even get her name right.
I know.
Right?
It's like, say it loud.
Isina Busada. Isina Busada.
I don't even know her name.
Did she call herself nice. Agent Abusada?
Yeah, that's how what I heard.
Saying.
Isina Busada.
Yeah.
Deli counter.
6 times we've heard it. Still don't know what her name is.
Isina Busada, News 5.
Agent Abusada. That's what
Agent
I got.
Agent Abusada.
Wow.
Here, let's hear how they pitch to her. Let's hear how
Right.
Clinic. When police say a valet worker took their card for a joyride. News 5's Nadine Abusada.
Nadine. Her name was Nadine?
Not even close.
Not even close.
I ordered that once.
Isina Busada, News 5.
Nope.
She didn't even get her name right.
I know.
Wow.
News 5.